You are listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We believe that Jesus came to set you free and nothing can cancel the truth of God's word. Now here's your host, the youth pastor of Impact Youth at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, Pastor Joey Santora.
What is going on, Uncanceled? How are you guys doing? Happy week before Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy week before Thanksgiving.
It is. It's happy week before Thanksgiving. At the time of this recording, we're definitely not about to have a crumble cookie at 10:36 in the morning.
No,
it's not. No,
we would never have a crumble cookie that early. That would be insane.
Definitely not going to do it.
No.
It's actually 10:32. I always forget that clock is accurate. That clock is fast.
Yeah, so, recording early today.
Yep, I got to get on the road. So An early morning cookie. I definitely have not been dreading this from the moment that I woke.
It'll be fine.
Oh, man, it'll be fine. We have the podcast this week with, I don't know why I just played with that, but we have a podcast. It's early, guys. It's early. I have a podcast this week. And then next week, my wife is going to be doing the podcast. It'll come out the day, Black Friday. It'll come out.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, we should have a sale. You can watch it for free this time. Everybody gets a crumble cookie. Anybody that? Oh, no, I'm just kidding. Well, let's get to it. It is time to rate that crumble cookie.
Crumble cookie. I had a trouble getting the box up.
Oh, that was so lame, but it's okay. Rate that crumble cookie. Here we go. Let's do it.
You know what? We got to pick it up because it's not 10:30 for them.
Oh, it's your hold on. Time out. Rewind. It is time to rate that crumble cookie. Here we go. Let's get it. All right. All right. Time to lock it in.
He's getting it right.
Bro, I'm not going to lie. I did see them because I went to order the cookies for next Monday at Impact, which we have Impact on Monday next week. And there's going to be 120 mini crumble cookies.
Whoa.
Okay. There's a lot of great options this week, actually. I would say that that's definitely intriguing. Definitely didn't get the milk chocolate chip. The oatmeal skillet cookie looks like something that we've never had before. It's obviously we had oatmeal raisin recently, but this looks a lot different. The mint mallow sandwich is interesting. Honestly, I could see it being either one of those two, between the mint mallow and the oatmeal skillet. We already had the churro, so you probably didn't get that, even though delectable.
Tell you what.
What?
I wanted to get that.
I know you did. Lemon cheesecake. I just didn't get that. Yeah, I'm going to go between the mint mallow and the oatmeal skillet cookie is going to be where I'm going to land between. This is such a tough decision this morning. I'm going to go... my gut wanted to tell me to go with the oatmeal skillet cookie, but now I want to go with the mint mallow sandwich. I feel like you're going to say that you didn't feel as though that was a cookie. So I'm going to go with the oatmeal skillet cookie. Let me see.
That was a great call from you.
Wow.
That was a great
call. I really got that.
I don't know why. I wasn't even considering the mint mallow sandwich because I didn't think that it was a cookie.
No, so I thought the same thing. Cam was talking to me about it on the way to back from Pennsylvania the other night.
Because if that's a cookie, then I might have should have picked that one.
Right. No, so Cam and I were talking about it. We were me and my wife and a couple other people were driving back and Cam was talking to me about the cookie this week, and she started talking to me about it, and she goes, I think that Ben's going to get the mint mallow sandwich. Mm. And I said, I don't think he is because that's not a cookie. And she was like, no, it is. Mm. So I immediately thought that it wasn't. And then I revisited. I was like, wait, maybe Ben did look and see it was a cookie. But then I was like, I don't know. It just doesn't look like it.
It doesn't look like a cookie. But I'll tell you what. If I had gotten that one, I would not have given it a high rating. I do not like mint. in my cookies.
Yeah, my mouth tastes extremely minty because I
brushed
my teeth like an hour ago.
Yeah, keep the mint in the toothpaste.
So
keep it out of my cookie.
Anyway.
This is going to be so good.
This looks good.
I didn't get the lemon cheesecake one because we had a lemon one last week.
Yep.
Peanut butter one was going to taste like peanut butter.
I didn't even consider them.
Confetti one is boring.
All right. Jingle bells, I'm not going to hell. Here we go.
What's the stuff on top?
I think it's vanilla bean.
Is it? The bean?
Vanilla bean mousse. Yep. I didn't know that from my taste buds. I knew that because I read it.
That's pleasant.
Yeah.
I like the caramel.
Yeah.
I got hit with a little caramel.
All of it was good.
Yeah.
I don't have a gripe with this cookie at all, honestly.
It's like apple crisp kind of
sure
vibes. Yeah,
a little bit. And it's something that like
just no apple.
I like oatmeal raisin cookies, but I like them extra if they don't have raisin in them.
Sure.
I actually don't like oatmeal raisin cookies. like I don't like it because of the raisin. I like the chocolate chips in oatmeal cookies. Like if you have an oatmeal chocolate chip cookie,
that's
fire because I like oatmeal.
Mm-hmm.
This is really good. I tasted it. I was like, wow, this is really good. But like, I'll just like be like straight up. I'm also not going to like, you know, like lose my mind over it or whatever, anything like that.
Man, I wish I got the mint one.
Why? You just feel like it's very similar to the things that we've already had?
Yeah, but also I think that would have, I would have hated it. And it just would have been entertaining.
Yeah, it would have been entertaining. Yeah, this is not a very entertaining Rate That Crumble cookie because there's not much to really assess here.
No, but it's good. Yeah.
Like if you're, when does Crumble change their flavors?
I think Sundays or Mondays. I don't know.
Sundays or Mondays. Okay.
I just look on Thursdays.
Okay. So if you are going to go to Crumble this week, first off, you're going to go to Crumble and you're going to get a whole cookie. I have a recommendation for you. Get two small cookies instead, and it's half the calories of a big cookie.
And you have to get three.
Get three. Give the third one to somebody else. Three small cookies is still less than one big cookie.
And you get to try a couple flavors.
Right, absolutely. So, like, my recommendation to you would be to go with the oatmeal skillet cookie. That would be my one that I would definitely try. But definitely churro.
Like, oh, my gosh.
You got to get the churro.
When I tell you that, like, I wanted to get it again.
Yeah, it's really good.
Oh,
I'll be
so
honest
good.
With you. Like, if
can you give that a 10?
I might have, bro. It was really good. I hope they don't change them till Sunday or Monday, because if that's the case, I may go on Saturday and get a mini churro cookie. It's only 230 calories. That's like that's like not that bad. Like you know, to have like every now and again, like you know, a cookie like that. Sure, like you know, I've been making ice cream that's healthy, low calorie. It's low calorie. Like it's like fake sugar type stuff, but like. It's basically like pudding ultimately, and it's good, man.
Yeah.
It's good, good. I had a what was it? It was a chocolate marshmallow Oreo ice cream. 400 calories for the pint.
That's solid.
Yeah, I ate half the pint.
You enjoyed that.
Oh, it was great. It's great. So
I have a question.
Yeah.
Because I think that this might put this cookie into perspective. Because it's good. But how good is it? Would you rather have this cookie or when you were in high school have had a 2-hour delay for school?
Wow.
Yeah.
You just snapped me like, what in the world just happened? I just feel like an elastic band. I just like snapped like back to high school, like all of a sudden. Man, a 2-hour delay.
You'd rather have a 2-hour delay?
Yeah. Dude, that was the best.
It was really good, but it wasn't the best.
No, I mean, having no school was the best, but like, I like 2-hour
delays.
2-hour
delays were good.
All right, what day of the week is it for a 2-hour delay?
I hadn't considered that.
No, because that matters. If it's a Monday or a Friday, you might be more inclined to be like, yeah, I want that 2-hour delay. Because if it's Friday, it's like, oh, I sleep in and I just have like a short day of school and then I have the weekend.
I don't know. The 2-hour delay was nice because you did get to sleep more. But then it's like, ugh, I still have to go to school.
You do, but like you just like, and then like the teachers are all frantic and rushing. And then the teachers are like, I don't know, forget this class, like whatever. That's kinda true. And then it's just like, oh, all right, great. Like, you know, we only had like 30 minute class periods or whatever. No, or something it was good. Like that.
I think I'm probably with you. I'd rather have back in high school a 2-hour
I'll be honest with you. I think I'd rather have most cookies or rather have delays over most cookies.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm more of a things that matter over food, I guess, if that makes sense.
That's fair.
But anyway, the rating for this.
Oh yeah.
We got to rate this. Kind of hard to rate, to be honest with you. I got a rating for it. I'm good. 3, 2, 1, 8.
6.5.
Whoa. You were way.
You think it's that good?
Yeah.
I think it's good.
Yeah, I really liked it. I guess I didn't really express that very well. I really liked it. I thought that it reached an 8 for me. Like, I actually kind of want to go and get one of the mini ones.
I think it's solid, but, you know, I'm not.
Like, I mean, it's all right.
I'm not too excited about it.
All right. That's fair. I like the discrepancy and difference that we have there. That's nice. So, yeah, oatmeal skillet cookie. Give it a try. Why not? Sure. It's pretty solid. But if you're going to pick a cookie this week, you're picking the churro. I do have a question for the viewers out here that are going to watch tomorrow. If somebody wants to drop a comment for me and let me know. It says...
Over under 2 comments. 2.5.
Under. Mm. But...
That's on you.
Yeah, surprise me. Go ahead. First off, comment what your favorite cookie is at Crumble Cookie if you want so that we can try it at some point. But... Week of November 17th through 23rd, it says. Does that mean that they change the cookies on the 23rd or it goes through the 23rd?
It probably goes through the 23rd and they change it on that Sunday would be the first day.
I definitely won't be there Saturday.
No.
Never. Anyway, well, thanks for tuning in to Rate That Crumble Cookie. Now, let's go put on that armor. What's up, guys? As you guys heard in Rate That Crumble Cookie, I said it's time to put on the armor. You know why I said that? Because today we're going to be talking about the armor of God. I'm excited to do this teaching with you guys. I did some pretty good study on this. And what I mean by that is I put a good amount of time studying the armor of God. And yesterday, some of my leaders are probably back on here or student leaders are back on here watching this podcast because yesterday, and obviously at the time of recording, it's Thursday. At the time of the release of the episode, it's Friday. So 2 days ago for you guys, if you're watching Friday, I did a teaching on the armor of God, but I only got through the first three parts of the armor in pre-service. So I'm gonna hop into this, and hopefully I have time to cover more than just the first three today. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Hopefully you're there. If you're not, I'll give you a couple more seconds to be able to do so. If you have your phone... I encourage you to turn on your Bible app. If you have a paper Bible, that's even better. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Here's something that I want to encourage you with right off the bat. You are made to stand. You are made to last. As a child of God, you are not meant to bend your knee, to bow down, or to buckle to the devil. You are meant to stand. You are meant to stand. People think that they're meant to get beat up by the devil, and you know, sometimes the devil gets one over on me. No, you were created to stand. Any scheme that the devil tries to conjure up or plan against you, against your family, against your life, against the church, you do not have to buckle or fall. You are created to stand. You are created to stand. So get that through your head, the first thing with this armor of God. Get that through your head that you are not supposed to lose and buckle to temptation and to the schemes of the devil. You're supposed to stand. God has given you this armor, the armor of God. God has given you these things as an ability to stand against the enemy, to stand against the enemy. Be encouraged by that today. The Bible says then in verse 12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Our battle as Christians is not against people. Our battle is against the forces of darkness. Our battle is against spiritual powers. Our battle is against the enemy. This, for example, put it like this. If somebody says something to you or challenges you or, you know, says something to discourage you, don't look at it like that person is your enemy. Look at it like there is some type of spiritual thing that is behind that. I'll give you an example of kind of what I mean when I say that. Jesus told his disciples, he said to his disciples, "I'm going to die on a cross." I'm paraphrasing. "I'm going to die on a cross. I'm going to die a really terrible death." And Peter told him, "No." He said, "No, Jesus." He took him aside. He said, "No, Jesus, that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be like this, this, and that." And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan." Why did Jesus say that? Jesus understood that our battle is not against flesh and blood. Jesus understood that people can be agents or messengers of the devil without even realizing it. There are some Christians in churches that they are actually messengers or being used of the devil. Now, I'm not saying they're demonically possessed because Christians can't be demonically possessed. And for a teaching on that, I have a podcast teaching called "Can a Christian Be Demon Possessed?" The answer is no. What I mean is that a Christian can be operating in accordance with Satan and not even realize it. I have it happen in my services sometimes. I'll be done preaching. You know, seven people just got saved or whatever on a Wednesday night, and you know, a couple people got healed of something, or the power of God was very present in the room. People are in tears, whatever. And I'll step off the stage and somebody will say, "You know, I just wanted to let you know that, you know, there were some people that weren't paying attention today." It's like, really? Right after I'm done preaching, boom, somebody comes up with something of discouragement. They may not even mean it in any type of way, but because they're not in accordance with the Spirit of God in that moment, and not being led of their spirit, they come and they offer you a word of discouragement. My battle's not against flesh and blood, though. My battle's not against that person. My battle is against, as the Bible says, it's not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. That's who my battle's against. So remember that. That is who we are fighting. If we're going to fight spiritual beings, we need to have spiritual armor. If we're going to fight spiritual beings, we have to have spiritual armor. If you're going to stand against a spiritual being, you have to be spiritually equipped. So now let's get into this. So the Bible says in verse 13, by the way, our new mic is coming for our broadcast. Probably it'll be here either next podcast. No, it won't be your next podcast. It'll be here after Thanksgiving. After Thanksgiving. So I'm excited for that. That had nothing to do with anything. I just thought of it because I moved the microphone for a second. Hopefully my mouth will stop slamming into it sometimes. Can you guys hear that on the audio? Can they hear that? No, if like I go like this. Maybe a little bit. Okay. All right. Sorry. That's not relevant. Let's get back into this is a serious Bible teaching. Let's get back to it. Verse 13. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand firm." I love that again. I said that earlier. You are meant to stand. You are not meant to buckle or fall. This armor that you are, that you have, this armor that the Bible says to put on, this armor that you have access to is meant to make you stand. Amen. You're not meant to buckle or fall. You're meant to stand today. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. The belt of truth. Let's start with that. The belt of truth. You know what? Before I get into the belt of truth, I want to say this. The reason the armor of God is so important is because if you have the armor of God on, no attack of the enemy can succeed against you. If you have the armor of God on, no attack of the devil can succeed against you. That's powerful. No attack of the devil can succeed against you. It is a rigged system. You always win. It is a rigged system. If you put on the armor of God, it is a rigged system. You will always win. So with that being said, let's get into this first part, the belt of truth. The belt of truth. What is the belt of truth? Well, something you have to consider here, many commentators and Bible scholars have suggested this as a possibility, and I'm not saying that this is with 100% certainty, but it's quite possible that the Apostle Paul, he was under house arrest during this time, or he was under arrest, and so there was a Roman soldier that was standing outside of the place that he was staying under house arrest as a Roman citizen, because the Bible tells us that the Apostle Paul was a Roman citizen, so he had different rights than others. While he was awaiting trial, he didn't have to wait in a typical prison, but rather he could be under house arrest because he was a Roman citizen. And so he's under house arrest as a Roman citizen. And it is possible to suggest that there was a Roman soldier on watch all the time outside of Paul's house arrest location. And it's possible that Paul, as he's writing Ephesians, he's looking at the Roman soldier's armor. And maybe he's even asking, I'm suggesting this, I'm not saying definitely I wasn't there, I'm not Paul, I'm not God, I don't know exactly what happened here. But I'm suggesting, as many scholars have, Paul's looking at this armor, and perhaps he's asking, why the belt? What does the belt do for you? What does this do for you? What does that do for you? Paul does not randomly equate these different things. Like, he doesn't say the belt of truth just randomly. He picks an item of the armor to relate to the spiritual attribute that we ought to have, or the spiritual attribute that we are to have for a reason. For a reason. So ready? The belt of truth. Why the belt? Well, what does a belt do? A belt keeps your pants upright. A belt keeps your pants from being on the ground, right, Ben? Didn't somebody at Faith Prep one time do like pants on the ground at a talent show? Yeah. I don't remember. I don't know. I don't know why I'm thinking of that right now. But anyway, a belt keeps your pants off the ground. Can somebody say amen? A belt keeps your pants upright. Even if it doesn't keep them from completely falling, a belt will at least keep your pants upright. Now, why do I say that? Well, it actually matters to what I'm saying. The same way that a belt keeps you upright, the truth keeps you upright. The truth keeps you as an upright individual, an upright individual. The Bible says in Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 17, it says that there are six things that the Lord detests, seven things that he hates. Seven things he hates. Hates. One of the things God hates in that list is a lying tongue. God hates a liar. God hates a liar. If you are a liar, God hates that. God hates a lying tongue. Make a decision to be a person of truth. A person that will tell the truth, even if it's not in their best interest to do so. Be a person that spouts truth, that when people ask you things, you tell the truth. You tell the truth. You are a truth teller. You know why this is important in standing against the devil? If you are a truth teller, then the devil cannot catch you in a lie. If you expose the truth, and you just tell the truth out as it is, the devil cannot use your lie against you, because that's what will happen. You lie once. How many of you guys have done this before? Maybe, because I have, I know, and it's gotten me into a lot of trouble. You tell a lie. It's a small lie. You tell a lie. And then you have to tell another lie to be able to back your previous lie. and then you tell another lie, and you tell another lie, and eventually you weave your, you have a, what is that saying? What a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. That's a statement that, from somewhere, I don't know where it is, but have you ever heard that, Ben? No? Yeah, I know it from, I know it from a play that I was in one time in high school, but it was one of the lines. But anyway, I don't know why I keep talking about high school today. First, we have 2-hour delays. Now we had pants on the ground and whatever I just said now. Anyway, back to the serious Bible teaching today. The belt of truth, it'll keep you upright. Make a decision to be a truth teller. Don't make yourself into a, put yourself in a position where you just are stuck in a web of lies. What is that line from Elf? You sit on a throne of lies, right? Yeah. I said Elf. Elf. You sit on a throne of lies. Don't be someone that is on a throne of lies. You are just a liar. No one will trust you. Your credibility will be gone. And your adversary, the devil, he's going around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, the Bible says. Now, let me be clear. The Bible doesn't say that the devil is a lion. It says he goes around like a lion. It's attributing an attribute. The way that a lion goes around looking for prey is the way that the devil is going around looking for someone to be able to devour. Doesn't mean the devil's this big, strong lion. It means that he shares in that attribute of a lion. But nonetheless, if you don't lie, if you're a truth teller, then the devil, you're not giving the devil even a foothold to be able to expose your lie. So put on the belt of truth. Be someone that is a truth teller. Next, the Bible then says, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness. Here's what this breastplate did. This breastplate protects vital organs, including the heart. Including the heart. The breastplate of righteousness is making a decision to guard yourself with godliness. To guard yourself with godliness. The breastplate of righteousness, it protects your heart. Protects your heart. The breastplate of righteousness. This is making a decision to guard yourself. Guard your heart, the Bible says. For out of it flows the issues of life. Guard your heart. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. No, I'm going to guard my heart from that thing. This is making a decision to live a godly life that honors the Lord. That honors the Lord. This is having a heart to please God. I just preached a sermon last night called After God's Heart. After God's Heart. And I talked about having a heart that is after God's heart. This breastplate of righteousness is making a decision to guard your heart with all vigilance. Just as the Bible says, guard your heart. A decision to purify your heart. The Bible tells us to purify our hearts. We go before God. We say, God, help me purify my heart. God, I come before you. I want to purify myself before you. And then God helps us be able to do so. The breastplate of righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness. It'll protect your heart. It'll protect your heart. It is important to make a decision as a Christian. Ahead of time that you're going to live for the Lord. It's important to make that decision ahead of time. Why do I say that? Because a lot of us, I said this in pre-service last night, a lot of us are trying to prepare for the battle on the day of the battle. A lot of us are trying to prepare for the battle on the day of the battle instead of preparing for the battle leading up to it. What do I mean by that? Well, a lot of us, we haven't made our mind up about if we're going to stand for God or live for God until we actually get there. Until we actually get there. It isn't until we reach that moment of temptation that we actually try to figure out if we're going to live for God or not. And let me tell you, if that's you and that's your mindset, that you haven't already determined in your heart and in your mind that you are going to live for the Lord, I'll tell you this, if that's not, that determination of your heart is not there, it's going to be very hard to be able to stand against the schemes of the devil because your mind's not already made up. The same way that we don't go to a basketball game and we don't wait until the day of our basketball game or the day of our football game or the day of our cheer, competition or whatever the thing is that we do. We don't wait till the day of to practice. We actually have practice leading up to the game. In the same way, you have to make a decision to put this breastplate of righteousness on before the day of battle. Before the day of battle. Put it on. Have it on you at all times. You don't know when the day of battle might come. Unlike a sports game, we don't know when the schemes of the devil might come. But guess what? If I already have the armor of God on, it won't matter. It doesn't matter. I don't need to be afraid of the schemes of the devil. Come on, let's go. I already got my armor on. I'm ready to fight. You have to make a decision that you are ready to fight against the devil at all times. You're ready to fight against the devil at all times. I'm ready, I'm equipped, and I'm ready to go. Let's go. Come on, devil, bring it on. Bring it on. I don't care. You can swing as hard as you want because I have my armor on and it is a rigged fight that I'm going to win. It is a rigged fight that I'm going to win. Get that armor on. Get that armor on. Make a decision. Make a decision to put the breastplate of righteousness on. Be like Joseph in Genesis chapter 39. Joseph was in this man named Potiphar's house, and you can read it in Genesis 39. I encourage you to do so. This woman came up to him and said, come sleep with me. It was Potiphar's wife, his master or his boss's wife. And Potiphar's wife, probably a beautiful woman because it was a powerful man in an ancient culture, and came up to him, come on, come sleep with me. And the Bible says this, Joseph determined in his heart, he said, how could I do such a wicked thing against God? How can I do such a wicked thing against God? Joseph had already determined in his heart that I am going to guard myself with righteousness. I am going to put on the breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to guard my heart. He had already decided. Have you decided today that you're going to live for God already? Have you already made a decision to live for God? Already. I'm going to live for God. You know, it's not hard for me to not get drunk. It's not hard for me. First off, because I don't drink alcohol, period. So if I don't drink alcohol, how could I ever get drunk? But secondly, I've already determined in my heart that I'm not going to drink. It's already a decision that I've made. If somebody comes up to me and says, hey, you want a glass of alcohol? The answer is no. I already determined that. I've already made up in my mind that the answer is no. If you don't have something made up in your mind, it's very hard to follow through with it. Example, case in point. I'll use a couple examples. First, if I say I might go to the gym tomorrow, when you say you might, there's a good chance you won't. But if you say I'm going to go to the gym tomorrow and you've already determined in your mind that you're going to, then you're going to wake up tomorrow and you're going to go to the gym. I've already determined in my mind tomorrow I'm going to Pennsylvania tonight. I've already determined in my mind that when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to go to the gym tomorrow at the hotel because I want to get a good workout in. I've already made my mind up that I'm going to do that. Make your mind up ahead of time. Make your mind up ahead of time. Fasting is a great case in point with this. Fasting. And if you don't know about fasting, stick around this YouTube channel long enough and you'll find out about fasting. I'm going to do a teaching on fasting in a couple of weeks in preparation for 21 days of prayer and fasting in January. But nonetheless, when you're fasting, well, I think I'm going to fast tomorrow. I think I'm going to do a fast tomorrow. And I said this in pre-service last night, you ain't going to fast tomorrow if you say you think that you're going to fast. I think I might. I think I might fast tomorrow. You're going to wake up in the morning. We'll see how I feel tomorrow. I said this last night too. You're going to feel hungry. That's how you're going to feel tomorrow. When you wake up in the morning, you're going to feel like not going to the gym sometimes. You're going to feel like eating when you wake up. I'm going to see how I feel tomorrow. No, you're not going to fast. You're going to be big back in some pancakes and some French toast and some, you know, thick cut bacon or whatever, and your back's just going to be getting bigger. That's what's going to be happening when you say that, oh, you know, I think I might fast. We'll see how I feel tomorrow. Okay, good luck with that. In the same way, good luck with standing against your adversary, the devil, when you have not made your mind up that you're going to live for God. Amen. Amen. This is good. I may preach a whole sermon on this in January because this is very practical. Amen. So we have the breastplate of righteousness. Put that on. So we have the belt of truth. We have the breastplate of righteousness. And then next we have my favorite one. Some of you guys will understand why I'm saying that. And as shoes for your feet. I got it right that time. having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. The shoes of peace. The shoes of peace. Last night, I did not get that right. I kept saying something very incorrect the entire time. The shoes of peace. Can somebody say? Somebody, let's like try and increase our comments. Why not? Somebody type in the comments. Shoes of peace. Shoes of peace. I'm not even going to say the other thing so that I get it out of my head. Not that it was like bad or anything. It was just incorrect. What is this? Well, the Roman soldiers had shoes that they wore, obviously. They were like these sandals of type. But see, they had protection around them. They had protection around them. And they had protection around them to be able to guard if somebody were to try to strike them in the foot, and also protection just as the fact that a shoe is a protection. When I walk around, you know, just, you know, outside and stuff, I'm wearing shoes and stuff like that, unless you're one of those weird people that, you see those weird people that they cut out the sole of the shoe and they walk around with just the top of the shoe? You have? Yeah? Sorry, I'm like talking to Ben like here or whatever, but maybe you've seen that. Weird. Weird. Nobody wants that. Stop walking around barefoot outside. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. Guys, nobody wants to see your feet out. Period. If you're at the beach or whatever, great. Especially the men. Nobody wants to see that. Like, it's just like, stop. Like, that is, in my opinion, it is effeminate to be doing that. Anyway, that's my opinion. That's not the Bible. That's just my opinion. But anyway, unless you're one of those weird people that just walks with your dogs out like all the time, you're wearing shoes. Why? They protect your feet from diseases. You know, I just really feel like I'm one with the earth. I think you're getting a foot fungus. That's what I think. I think you're going to have to go see some type of special doctor. I think you're going to have to see some type of special doctor. I don't know why I'm talking about this. The shoes of peace. They protect you. They protect you. What does this mean? This is saying that when you go out and preach the gospel, that there will be the protection of God on you as you go and you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. As you go and put out the gospel, the protection of God, the protection of God. You won't have to worry about the scheme of the devil that's trying to stop you from preaching the gospel, stop you from going and carrying out what God wants you to do. Because you'll have the shoes of peace on. You'll have that protection on you. There's also a clear correlation here between what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 10:15. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. This armor piece, if you think about it, if you have your shoes on, you can be ready to go at any time. So when God tells you to go, you can go. You can just get up and go. That's what these shoes are. They're the ability to just get up and go. Get up and go. Get up and go do what God wants you to do. At any moment, you can get up and go. You can get up and go. You can get up and you can flee from sin at any moment. Just like the Bible says, you can use your feet and flee from sin at any moment. The shoes of peace. The confidence that we have in God as our protector. The confidence that we have in God as our protector. Next. I made it through the three, and welcome those of you that skipped the first three because you were in pre-service. This would be your point. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Amen. Amen. I love that it says you can extinguish, obliterate them. They might be the fiery arrows, but as soon as it hits your shield of faith, boom, the fire goes out immediately. That thing that was trying to take you out. What is the shield of faith? The shield of faith is that our faith protects us from the attacks of the devil. Our faith protects us from the attacks of the devil. Why? Because our faith allows God to fight for us. Our faith allows God to fight for us. Our faith allows God to fight for us. When I put my faith in action and I send my faith out, God responds to faith. God responds to faith. Daniel in the lion's den. God responded to Daniel's act of faith. Act of faith to pray anyway. No, I'm not going to let anybody stop me from praying. I'm going to pray anyway. That was a scheme of the enemy to get Daniel to die. That's what that was. A scheme of the devil. Those people were all under demonic influence. Those people that conspired against Daniel and went to the king and said, "We don't think anybody should pray, king, except if it's to you. We don't think anyone should do that." And then they went and they trapped Daniel. And it's funny, I love what Daniel does in that story. The Bible says he does what he always did. He went and he prayed just as he always did. Powerful, powerful. I'm just going to do what I always did. This will bless you right here. Daniel didn't wait for the day of battle. Daniel had already been praying. Daniel had been praying every single day. Just as he always did, he had been praying every single day. Every single day. That's what Daniel did. So on the day of battle, guess what? He just did the same thing he always did. If you prepare before the battle, you won't have to scramble on the day of the battle. If you prepare before the battle, you won't have to scramble on the day of the battle. So your faith, what it does is it releases something that says to God, God says, yeah, I'm going to come and I'm going to back that. When you put your confidence in the Lord, your faith in the Lord, he comes and he backs you. So your shield of faith, what it does is it puts a protection. It puts your shield up to be able to guard against the attacks of the devil because God goes and fights for you because of your faith. It's kind of like this. If you stand under an umbrella, you don't get rained on. Your faith allows you to come under the umbrella of God. Under the umbrella of God. The shield of faith. The shield of faith. The shield of faith. But you have to choose to use it. The shield of faith. You can activate your faith. Activate your faith. How do I activate my faith? Release, speak the word of God. Release God's word. Speak confidence in the Lord in your situation. The shield of faith. Shield of faith. Next, it says, and take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. This is the top covering, and it covers the head and the mind. The head and the mind. Well, when we talk about the helmet, it covers the head and it covers the mind. Our mind, listen to this, should understand the salvation that we have in Christ. If we're going to stand against the devil, our mind needs to understand the salvation that we have in Christ. What do you mean understand the salvation that we have in Christ? Well, if you're going to be victorious over the devil, your mindset actually matters. Your mindset that you have salvation, your mindset of salvation, you put on the helmet of salvation. This salvation reminds us of the constant victory that we have in Christ. When I put on the helmet of salvation, I'm reminded of my salvation. Wait, I don't need to be afraid of the devil. I don't need to back off to his schemes. I can put on the helmet of salvation. I can stand against the devil. I can stand against, I don't need to be afraid of him. I already have victory in Christ. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. What am I concerned for of this devil trying to attack me? You have to have the mindset of a victor, the mindset of my salvation. Put on the helmet of salvation, which reminds you of the great victory that you have in Christ. And when you know that you're a victor, you'll never be a victim to the devil. Next, and lastly, the last piece of the armor, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This right here is an offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit. It is an offensive weapon against the devil, an offensive weapon. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he used the sword of the Spirit. When Satan came to him and tried to tempt him, he responded with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He responded with the word. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every breath, by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Powerful. That's what he said. He said, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Powerful. He quoted the scriptures back to his temptation. When you're tempted by the devil, activate the sword of the Spirit. But can I tell you that you cannot use this weapon unless you have actually been in the word? You can't use this weapon. You can't use this sword if you don't sharpen it. You can't have a dull blade. It won't work It won't be as effective. You want to have a sharp sword. How can I have a sharp sword? Get in this book every single day, reading it, tearing it apart. That when the schemes of the devil try to conspire against you, you have the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit to be able to fight it off. Fight it off. When you have the sword of the Spirit, that is a power. It is the most powerful weapon, is that sword, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. The word of God is an offensive weapon. I'm going to go to one other place, and then we're going to close. Matthew 7. Matthew 7, beginning in verse 24. Matthew 7, 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Can I tell you this? It is foolish to not have this word, because you'll be unable to stand without it. It's foolish to not only not know the word, but it's foolish to not use the word. Like, oh, I'm just so tempted right now. I'm not sure what to do. Use the word. Use the word. Put it into practice. Anyone who hears my words and does not put them into practice is foolish. What does the word say? It says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's what the word says. Put it into practice then. Try it the next time that you're tempted. It's really hard to sin when you're like quoting scripture. It's really hard to sin. You're like, you're out here like quoting scripture. I'll give you evidence that it's really hard to sin when the word of God's going forth through their scripture. How many of you guys, when you're in church, you're just like sinning? You're not, because the word of God's going out. Hopefully, at least, you're not. You're not. You're hearing the word. You're listening. Why? The word of God's going into you. The word of God, the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. The word of God. The word of God. It helps you stand firm. Stand firm when challenges happen in life. See, we are not exempt from a challenge as Christians. But we can make sure that we stand and are victorious in the challenge as Christians when we have the word and the armor of God. Put on the armor of God today. Put on the armor of God. Try using this next time. Try make this a part of your life. This is who you are as a Christian. If you want to win the spiritual battle, you need the spiritual armor. Can somebody say amen? Thanks, Ben. Write amen in the comments. Well, let's see if we can get over that 2.5 mark today. Just write something in the comments. Why not? I've given you many opportunities to write things in the comments, unless you just, you know, hate me or something like that. I'm going to go cry after this podcast. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I won't cry. I won't cry. I won't cry. Definitely not. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm done now. Amen. Put on the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. Amen. I hope that this teaching blessed you today. Hope that it encouraged you. I want to give you an opportunity if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ right now. Maybe your friend sent you this broadcast or something, or maybe you heard this and you realize that you're far from God and you need to recommit your life to Christ. I want to encourage you that Jesus Christ, that he came to this earth and he took the payment for our sin. The Bible says that the payment for our sin is death, and Jesus Christ came and he took that payment on the cross for you. He took that payment on the cross. The Bible says he was then buried in the ground. And then he rose from the dead. He defeated death. He defeated sin. And he offers you eternal life today. The payment for your sin has been paid. It's been paid. And now you have a free gift available to you today for you to either accept Christ or reject Christ as your Lord and Savior. The choice is yours to get right with Jesus Christ today. He loves you so much. And he wants you to turn and give your life to him. Turn from your sin. Turn from the way that you're living. And give your life to him. If you want to do that today, I want you to know that Jesus is the only way to eternal life. There aren't multiple ways to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to the Father except through me. So if that's you and you want to get right with Jesus, say this prayer after me. Go ahead and say this. Say this just right where you are, right where you're seated or right where you're standing, or even if you're in the middle of a workout right now. Stop and say this. It's worth it. Say this. Say, dear Jesus, today I give you my life. I turn my back on the way I was living, and I put my faith in you. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. You were buried in the ground, and you rose from the dead. Thank you, Jesus. I'm a Christian now, and I'm not turning back. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. If you said that prayer for the first time, welcome to the family of God. If you recommitted your life to Christ, welcome back. We're happy to have you. If you did just give your life to Christ, go in and drop something in the comments, or you can DM us on Instagram, Impact Youth. That's MPACT Youth. Go ahead and DM us on there. We'll be happy to help you take your next steps, because this is not the end of your journey. This is the beginning of your journey. Amen. I also want to give you an opportunity to sow today. Maybe you want to give into this ministry. If you want to sow a seed, you can go ahead and give with the instructions that are on the screen right now. And you can give to the drop down Impact Youth. Make sure to give to there. The money will go directly to our youth ministry. Great things happening here at Impact Youth. God bless you. So happy that you decided to join us for the podcast today. Hope to see you back here next week.
Thank you for listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We hope you were blessed and encouraged by the teaching today. If you are between the grades of 5th through 12th grade, make sure to check us out in person at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Be sure to tune in next week for another weekly podcast from Uncanceled. God bless.